Heavenly Father, your praise is in the church. Uplift our souls to the holiness of your presence, that we may praise you and worship you with pure hearts and joyful lips. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please rise. We follow the order of service printed in your bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Acknowledging that we stand in the presence of our holy God, we humble ourselves and in true repentance confess our sins.
I see my sins against thee, Lord.
Jesus Christ himself has been punished for all your sins. God the Father has placed on Jesus the iniquity of us all. According to his authority and by his command, I announce to you the divine decree of our God that all of your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the reading of the Passion History, which is a compilation of the gospel accounts of the last hours of our Savior's life before his crucifixion. We're on the fifth lesson, which in my booklet begins on page 13. So Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Soldiers of the governor led Jesus away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together and gathered around him the whole garrison. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, clothing him in purple. The soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and worshipped him, mocking him. They saluted him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head with it. They struck him with their hands. When they had mocked him, Pilate went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold, the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid and sent again to the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate, therefore, heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, he said to the Jews, "Behold, your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So Pilate delivered Jesus to their will. He delivered him to them to be crucified. The soldiers took Jesus' purple robe off him and put his own clothes on him. They took Jesus and led him out to crucify him, and he, bearing his cross, went out. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, the father of Alexander and Rufus, who was coming from the country. They compelled him to bear Jesus' cross. They laid the cross on him that he might bear it after Jesus. Now a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry?" There were also two others, criminals led with him to be put to death. They brought him to the place called in Hebrew Golgotha, which is translated Calvary, the place of a skull. When they had come there, they gave him sour wine mingled with myrrh and gall to drink. When he had tasted it, he would not drink. He did not take it. So far, the Passion History reading. We continue now with the Confession of Faith, which is the Apostles' Creed as it's printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please rise. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Tonight's text is written in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. It includes verses 9 to 11. Then came one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues, and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the holy city of Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. So far the Holy Word. My pleasure and privilege, as always, to bring you an important gospel message from God's Word this evening, dear fellow redeemed. Nearing the end of our, surprisingly, the end of our examination of these texts and this hymn, this Lenten hymn, "A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth," we've seen what a good and Bible-based hymn it is. The first three stanzas present Jesus to us as the Lamb of God, bearing the sin of the world patiently, willingly going to the cross to save us. That was the Father's loving plan, and the Son was willing to carry it out to the bitter end. The fourth stanza showed us our response to Jesus' love. He sacrificed himself for us, and so we give him our bodies as living sacrifices to glorify his name. The fifth stanza, which because of our exchange you won't hear about till next week, tells us that in this life we have sad times and trouble, even death. But we don't need to be afraid of those things, because Jesus, the Lamb of God, is the conqueror of death. Tonight, then, our examination is on the sixth and the final verse of this hymn. This verse is about heaven, the life after this life, the life that lasts forever, when we'll see Jesus, the Lamb of God, with our own eyes in all his glory. The hymn says, "And when thy glory I shall see, and taste thy kingdom's pleasure, thy blood my royal robe shall be, my joy beyond all measure. When I appear before thy throne, thy righteousness shall be my crown. With these I need not hide me, and there in garments richly wrought, as thine own bride, I shall be brought to stand in joy beside thee." In this verse, Gerhardt uses the same kind of picture language that we often find, especially in the book of Revelation. Jesus, the Lamb of God, which we've heard all about these past weeks. And we hear that his church, all believers, that's the Lamb's bride. In Revelation, the Lamb of God is portrayed as the victorious Lamb. He was slain for the sins of the world, but now he's risen again and he rules over his church and over the world. The heavenly choir in Revelation sings, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." In Revelation, we see pictured the great mass of people who believe in Jesus, the Lamb of God, as their Savior. We see that group of people standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palms in their hands. And a voice explains who those people are. "These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. The Lamb shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Well, you and I know all about tears in this world. We're experts. Trouble? Nobody knows the ones I've seen. Actually, many of you have seen more diverse and more difficult pain than I have, I'm sure. But the point is, none of us need pain or tears explained to us. But when the last day comes, that will be the moment of glory for us. Trouble will be over. For some, not for all, those who rejected Jesus will face his wrath. Revelation says they made war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. On that day they will say to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" But those who trust in the righteousness of Jesus and as their own righteousness, and those who trust in Jesus' blood as having been poured out for them, they have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They don't have to be afraid, because they are the Lamb's bride. And the last day is the beginning of an eternal marriage feast. It is written, "The marriage of the Lamb is come, and his bride has made herself ready. Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Jesus' disciple, John, was allowed to see in a vision what that day would be like. And here's what he reports. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. John heard a voice from heaven that said, 'The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor any more pain.'" John heard this announcement. He kept on looking, and that's where our text comes in. I'll read it again. "Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb.' And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God." The hymn writer says he's one of those that make up that heavenly Jerusalem. He's one of those believers that is part of the Lamb's bride. Jesus wants us to be in that number as well, as the song says. He gave his flesh for the life of this world. He poured out his blood as a ransom for all. He wants all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. He invites us all to put aside our stubborn pride and self-righteousness and fall down before him and confess our sins and receive from him our robe of his righteousness. He wants us to say with the prophet, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness." Or as the hymn writer says, "Yea, Jesus' blood and righteousness, my jewels are my glorious dress. In these before my God I'll stand when I shall reach the heavenly land." The Lamb's bride, you see, is the church, made up of all his believers from Adam down through all the patriarchs and David and the kings and down to Jesus and Paul, down through the Middle Ages to Luther, finally to us and beyond, all believers. By nature, we're no better than other people. We all start out the same way in this world. We're all born dead in sins. But the believers are those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So So on the last day, everyone will be judged. And if you're not written in the book of the Lamb, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. Because nothing evil can be found in that heavenly city, that holy city of Jerusalem, New Jerusalem. Only those written in the Lamb's book of life will be there. And there will be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. It's a preview. Preview of life everlasting. All true, because 2,000 years ago, a lamb went uncomplaining forth to die for our sins on the cross. Before he went, he prayed for us. He prayed about his disciples to his heavenly Father in John 17. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. May we then sing with Gerhard, and when thy glory I shall see, and taste thy kingdom's pleasure, thy blood, my royal robe, shall be my joy, beyond all measure. When I appear before thy throne, thy righteousness shall be my crown. With these I need not hide me, and there in garments richly wrought, as thine own bride, I shall be brought to stand in joy beside thee. Amen. Please rise. I'll direct your attention to the sermon response printed in your bulletin. The same peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise. Let us pray. Son of the living God, true Son of Man, your great love for us sinners soared to its loftiest heights when you willingly bore the pain and shame of the cross to save us from everlasting death. Strengthen our faith so that we always treasure the love with which you loved us in making yourself an offering for our sins. Enable us through the Spirit to follow the example of your true love and humility by doing always what pleases our Father in heaven. Teach us to have mercy and to gladly help those who are in need and show patience and forgiveness toward those who sin against us. Do not allow us to be discouraged from such crosses as you may lay upon us. Give us strength at all times to confess you as our Lord and Savior before an ungodly world. While living here on earth, cause all sorrow, distress, persecution, and every trouble we are called on to endure. Cause these things to purify our faith and draw us closer to you. You have been a continual source of earthly blessings to us through our lives, and always blessed us with the comfort of forgiveness and the certain hope of everlasting life in heaven. For these and other blessings, without number, our heartfelt thanks and praise. Redeemer, forgive all our sins, every instance of our failing to let your cross and your love shine forth in our lives. Cause your saving name to be preached in all the world. Open hearts everywhere to accept and worship you as Lord and Savior. Teach sinners in every land to lay their burden of sin at the foot of your cross and to look only to you for pardon, help, and healing. Hear us for the glory of your holy name. Hear us as we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive with believing hearts the Lord's blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated.
Thy glory I shall see, and taste thy kingdom's pleasure. Thank you.
Okay.